in your Bibles this morning, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Proverbs, chapter number 4. And we're going to my favorite passage of Scripture for keeping me in line. How many of you ever need to be kept in line? Me too. If we're honest with ourselves, we know we need to be kept in line. And as I was praying about what to preach on the first Sunday of the year, I had worked on a message continuing our study through the book of John, and the Lord's led me very clearly to Proverbs chapter number 4. If you look with me in verse number 23, I think it's a message for this year. It's a message, a great way to start the year. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." We look with me in verse number 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Keep thy heart. And today I want to preach that simple message, keep your heart. Keep your heart. If you could set out in the year 2022 to do something, keeping your heart would be something that would be noble and right to do, because the Bible says if we keep our heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. If you want the issues of life to go well, the Bible just simply makes it clear that your heart and keeping your heart is what is going to be the deciding factor. If I want to be the husband that God saved me to be, then I'm going to have to keep my heart right with God, keep my heart pure before God. If I'm going to be the father that God saved me to be, then I'm going to have to keep my heart. If I'm going to be the pastor God has called me to be, I'm going to have to keep my heart. If I'm going to be the friend and neighbor, I'm going to have to keep my heart. If I'm going to react to the issues of life and the situations that arise in a Christ-like fashion, I'm going to have to keep my heart. We come to this passage of Scripture, and there's some key words, no doubt. The first word in this verse is keep. I like this word, keep. My grandmother, if you ask her what she did, she said, "I keep house." How many of you ever heard anybody say they keep house? How many of you, if you talk to my grandfather, Bill Bice, about his what he did during the summer after he's retired, he kept a garden. Actually, before he's retired, he always had a garden. He kept a garden. He was a keeper. There's folks who keep sheep. I bought a few goats because I've got a bunch of briars that need to be eaten. I've been keeping goats. And I'll just tell you something, keeping goats in a fence is not as easy as you'd think. Keep. If you keep something, a house, a garden, a flock, if you keep it, it's not something that you do once and it's taken care of. If you keep house, you have to keep regular. Bless my wife's heart. She's raising three little boys. One's bigger than the other two, but she has to keep house. Every day, there's something to do. If you keep a garden every day, there's something to do. And the Bible says that we're to keep our heart. Folks, I want you to know something. The matter of keeping your heart in tune with God is not something that you do once a year, twice a year. It's not something you do once a month. It's not something you do once a week. Some people have the notion that if I can come to church on Sunday morning, that I'll have accomplished my spiritual duties for the week. But I'll have you know something. If you're just keeping your heart on Sunday morning, you're probably failing in your spiritual life. You see, if we're going to keep our heart, keeping your heart is something that has to be done diligently, daily, and maybe even more than daily. It's like the lady raising four children. She kept a belt on the wall, and above the belt, there was a sign that says, "I need thee every hour." And the truth is, if we're going to keep our hearts, It's a matter that needs to be addressed consistently and constantly. It needs attention always. And the Bible says that we should keep our heart. You know, our salvation has nothing to do with works. It's only faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. You can't work your way to heaven, but the Bible gives us a responsibility and a job to do in the matter of keeping our heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart. Now, I like this word heart. That's the next key word. Keep thy heart. Actually, we ought to just use all the word thy heart. Do you know what? It's more important for you to keep your own heart than to try to keep other people's hearts. If you try to keep other people's hearts, you'll go crazy. And you'll probably drive the other person crazy too. Thy heart. Your number one responsibility is to keep yourself right with God. Keep thy heart. Thy heart. Now, your heart. What's your heart? Your heart's not the blood-pumping organ in your chest. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where's your heart? It's located right here, between your ears. We're to keep our hearts. Our hearts is our thought life. The reason the Bible calls your thought life and your mind your heart is because it is the key center of everything. It's right in the heart of your whole world is your thought life. So man thinks of his heart, so is he. And the Bible says, keep your heart. What are we to keep? We're to protect our thought life. We're to protect our minds. The Bible gives us insight into how to protect our minds. We can wash our minds with the Word of God. We can transform our hearts with the Word of God. Our minds. Keep thy heart. Your heart is your thought life. The Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence. How are we to address this matter of our thought life? How are we to address this matter of keeping our hearts in tune with God? How are we to address it? Just lackadaisically, you know, who cares, it'll be okay. No, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. So the Bible wants us to understand that there is an urgency to keep your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? I'm a why asker. How many of you are why people? I don't just do things because. I want to know why. And I'm not going to waste my time doing things because I don't know, just because it's always been that way. I ask the question why. I think it's a good question. And so why should I put the effort to protect my mind? The Bible says, well, it's very simple. We need to keep our heart with all diligence because out of it are the issues of life. Out of your thought life, out of your heart, come all the issues of life. You see, what you think about, what you dwell on, is what you act on ultimately. It's your issues. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Issues. How many of you have issues? Man, we've got issues. Well, I'll just have you know something. A heart that's kept, a heart that's protected, a heart that is in tune with God produces good issues. A heart that's full of self and pride and sinfulness produces issues that are horrible. I want to have issues. I want to have issues that are right and good. And I want my life to be led by the Spirit of God and not the inconsistency of my sinful nature. And therefore, the commission from God's Word is this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How can I have a great 2022? On Wednesday night, I talked about a year is made up of days, and God's made days, and we should have great days. But if you're going to have great days, they're going to be great days because your heart has been kept in tune with the Lord. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Now, I love this passage of Scripture because it doesn't just tell us what to do and leave us there. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't do that. If you notice in the Scripture, the Bible doesn't just give you commands and tell you to do things and does not give you the ability or the understanding as to how to do it. And there's some things I want you to consider this morning as we consider this thought of keep your heart. key you are. The first point I want to make this morning, number one, is we can understand our hearts. Number one is the test of your heart is your mouth. How can you tell what's in your heart? The Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. The Bible says you can't really know your own heart. It'll deceive you. But there's a way to look into your heart when you pay attention to what you say with your mouth. Here's what the Bible says. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. The Bible says if you are going to keep your heart, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to watch your mouth. Anybody ever told you, watch your mouth? You got to watch your mouth. Now, I want to watch our mouths for just a minute. Will you watch your own mouth for a minute? And the Bible says, keep your heart. Don't be elbowing him. Don't be elbowing her. Keep your heart. Now, I want you to watch your mouth for just a minute. I want to watch your mouth over the last 24 hours. Because if you'll watch your mouth over the course of the last 24 hours, you're going to begin to understand and see what is actually in your heart. Now, sometimes we think, well, my heart is pure before God. But then if we'll watch our mouth for a minute, then it may change your mind. You see, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Adrian Rogers said it like this, what's in the whale comes up in the bucket. And what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. So let's think about it. Watch your mouth for the last 24 hours. I want you to think about the things you've said. I want you to think about the nice things that you've said. Every kind word that's come out of your mouth in the last 24 hours is the product of a kind heart. Now I want you to think about the sarcastic things that you've said over the course of the last 24 hours. The sarcastic things that you've said over the course of the last 24 hours are the product of a sarcastic heart. I mean, think about the bitter things that you've said over the course of the last 24 hours. It's the product of a bitter heart. I want you to think about the wicked things that you've said over the course of the last 24 hours. It's the product of a wicked heart. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How have your words testified to the condition of your heart? Maybe your words are just distracted. Has the Lord been on your lips at all in the last 24 hours? Has your relationship to Jesus Christ, the matters of eternity, the issues of life in perspective, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior? You see, out of our mouths come an evidence of what's in our hearts. How'd you do on your test? Angry words, bitter words, ungrateful words, words that you wouldn't want the preacher to hear. Words. You see, the test of your heart is your mouth. And the Bible says, if you've got mouth problems, word problems, then put them away. You see, if you want to keep your heart, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to pay attention to what's in your heart by paying attention, watching your mouth. And when you watch your mouth, the next thing you know, the Lord begins to transform your heart. If we're going to keep our heart, the first thing we must consider is that the test of our heart is our mouth. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. The next point, number two. The test of your heart is your mouth. The path to your heart is your senses. We have a little anatomy lesson here. We go from our mouth to our eyes. How do I become who I am? With my senses. Verse 25, the Bible says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Why did the writer of the Proverbs, why did Solomon say, when we're considering our hearts and keeping our hearts, why did he say, let your eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee? Because he understood that it's your eyes, it's your eye gate. I've never heard any people talk about your eye gate, because it's like the pathway to your brain. Solomon said, look, if you're going to keep your heart, you're going to have to be looking at the right thing. You see, our eyes are the path to our hearts. Are you looking? the right thing. The Bible says and teaches us that our senses is what makes our heart. Do you know what? You become what you see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. You become that. You see, everything that Cody Sturgill is on this day in 2022 is the product of everything I've ever seen, heard, tasted, touched, or smelled. I mean, that's who I am. My mind has developed around my senses. I know that that's my mom because since I was born, I've looked at her and I know her. That's my mom. I know that's my son. Since he was born, I've known he's my son. Why do I know he's my son? Because I've seen him. I've touched him. I've smelled him. Just kidding, buddy. Sorry. Couldn't help it. I've heard him. You get the point? I know him because of my senses. I know that's Poppy. I know that's Jerry. I know you because I've experienced you. Now, those are good things. I'm glad I know you. But I also know some things I wished I didn't know because I've let things that I shouldn't through my eye gate and my ear gate. You understand where I'm getting, right? And Solomon said, oh, would to God that I'd protected my eyes and my ears and my senses. Because if I'd protected my senses and what I allowed to come in my eyes and my ears, it wouldn't have hurt my brain. It wouldn't have hurt my heart. Every time you hear a preacher stand up and preach, don't look at that. Don't go there. Don't do that. Why? Because he's an old fuddy-duddy and doesn't want to have any fun. No. It's a biblical principle that we want, I as a preacher and as your pastor want to warn you, don't let trash in your heart. Every time as a teenager you go to a teen rally, there's an emphasis, protect yourself, protect yourself, protect yourself, protect yourself. Don't do that. Don't go there. And some people say, I'm tired of the rules. But the bottom line is, the message is protect your heart. Why? Because if that trash never comes in, you don't ever act on it. If that trash never comes into your heart, you don't ever respond to it. If that seed is never planted, nothing ever grows. You see, we're to keep our hearts. Now, I want to just encourage you to do something. There's two sides to keeping your hearts. There's the sign that says, do not let the trash in. What are you doing to protect yourself from letting the trash in? There may be people you call friends you don't need to talk to. You don't need to hang around. Because they lead you to the trash. There may be television shows that you just need to give up, turn them off, because it's just trash. There may be places that you need to just say, you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm not going there anymore. Because it just leads to trash. There's the element of keeping your heart where you keep things out. If you were to imagine your heart as a garden should have a fence. Why do you have a fence? Because you want to keep things out. The groundhog's got to go. The deer can't stay in there. Because if they come in, they destroy the garden. And your heart is like a garden. And we're to keep it. We're to keep the wrong things out. But if you just get to the place where you have sterilized your world, you're none the better for it. Because keeping your heart has everything to do with keeping the wrong thing out and letting the right things in. You know, there's people that you should surround yourself with. There are folks you should talk to. There are things you should watch and read and partake in. Because there's a lot of great resources out there to really help you. I think you should be part of the services of the Chilhowee Baptist Church. It's wonderful. Why do I encourage you to come to church? I'll just tell you something. I don't encourage you to come to church because I'm trying to boost my ego and fill up every pew. No way, Jose. Not my spirit. I want people sitting in these pews hearing the Word of God because I'm preparing what God has taught us in His Word, because I want you to have the good bread of the Word of God, and I want to come through your eyes and your ears and into your heart the truth of the Word of God that will transform your life. Hey, it's good to be in church. If I was you in this year, I'd intend to be at church every possible opportunity. It'll help you. It'll help you. Ruth and I, our world is crazy. Everything changed. We plan for all of our plans to change. You just never can tell what might happen in a day's time. And that's fine. And we're used to it. We like it that way. We're thankful when people call and change all of our plans. It's great. It's fine with us. But you know, a long time ago in our home, when we first got married, we just made it clear this is what we were going to do. You say, sure, you're a preacher, you'd have to make this plan, but you don't have to. There's preachers' wives who don't ever come to church. When we got started, we said, here's the plan. We'll let anything change our world, except we're going to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we're going to attend Sunday school. It's great. Now look, Sunday night and Wednesday night's not in the Bible. We are to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. There's not a thou shalt attend Sunday school in the Bible. But I will say this. If the Lord has afforded you an opportunity and a place where you can go and invest an hour of your week to feed your heart something that's quality and good and that will help you, then you ought to do it. It's a wise decision to just plan on being at church. If you have this notion that I'm going to be at church, if I can make it, I'll be there. You don't make it. If I can make it, I'll be there. We're going to try to get there. How many of you ever tried to get there but you just didn't? If there's any option, you won't. And I don't encourage you to come to church every time the doors open to make you feel bad when you miss. I encourage you to come to church every time the doors open, because I know it'll help your heart. You see, we're to put into our heart the things we ought to put into our heart. What do you listen to during the week? I love to mow the grass, and in this age that we live in, earbuds are wonderful. I like to mow. I like to be alone at times, and I like to listen to preaching. I don't listen to my own preaching, but I like to listen to Bible preaching, and there's a certain preacher I love to listen to. And I make it a point to listen to two or three sermons a week because I know I need to feed my heart. It's a good habit to get into. There's all kinds of resources out there. This is the era, and there's never been an opportunity where you could get to more quality content than right now. But the opposite's also true. There's never been a moment in the history of man that you get to more terrible content than right now. So you've got to pick your content. We're to keep our hearts. You see, what comes in our eyes, the bad, we keep it out. The good, we put it in. Because guess what happens? Before you know it, the truths that you've heard and learned have transformed your lives. How many of you ever heard something from God's Word that changed your life? Would you raise your hand? It's wonderful. Guess what? That doesn't just happen once and it's over. If you'll let Him, God will use His Word to revolutionize your life day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out. You'd think, I've preached thousands of sermons now, literally. Thousands of sermons. You'd think by now, preaching thousands of sermons from 66 books, you'd run out of content. I'll just have you know something. Every time I study a passage of Scripture, God gives me something fresh and new, and it's awesome. I want to feed my heart. You see, if we're going to keep our hearts, if we're going to have issues that are right and good, if we're going to keep our hearts, we're going to test our hearts by paying attention to what's coming out of our mouths. We're going to protect our hearts by understanding that the path to our heart is our senses. And finally, number three, the Lord wants us to consider the destination of our heart. The Bible says in verse number 26, ponder, you know that word? Ponder, think about it. Ponder the path of thy feet. Now we've watched our mouth, thought about our mouths. Now we need to ponder. We've thought about what we say. Now we're going to ponder where we're going. Ponder the path of thy feet. Jerry Clower said one time, when you get where you're going, where will you be? I thought it was kind of interesting. When you get where you're going, where will you be? Now, the Bible says to ponder the path of your feet. Now, when you get where you're going, where will you be? I want you to think about the direction that you're heading in right now. Now, there's folks I talk to all the time who say, I'm going to get right with God. I want to do the right thing. I want to please the Lord. I want to live for Jesus. I want to see people saved. I want to do the right thing. And the right thing's over here. And I look at them, and I'm pondering the path of their feet. The right thing's over here, but they're going this direction. They're going all along. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. But they're going in the opposite direction. You will not get where you want to go if you're walking in the wrong direction. It's pretty profound, isn't it? But you think about this for a minute. How many of you want to ruin the rest of your life? Would you raise your hand? How many of you want to wreck yourself financially? Isn't that exciting? How many of you want your marriage just to shatter and fall into pieces? How many of you want to destroy your children's future? Hey. How many of you want to die early because you didn't take care of your bodies? How many of you want to, and you feel, none of us want what's wrong. None of us want the bad product. But I want you to know something. If you think about the path that you're going, where will you be when you get where you're going? Ponder the path of your feet. What direction are you heading? Hey, if your directions are going the right direction, hallelujah. But if your feet are pointing away from God. In your heart, you don't want to ruin your life. In your heart, you don't want to have these bad issues. In your life, your heart, you say, I don't want what's wrong. But your feet are going in the wrong direction. The Bible says, ponder the path of your feet. Let all thy ways be established. What's that mean? Let all thy ways be established. That just means every step you take is something that makes sense and is right. If you take steps that are wicked and sinful and you intentionally do it, you're walking in the wrong direction. Let all thy ways be established. The Bible says, verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What's the Bible say? The Bible says, look, get on track and go that direction. Get on track and go that direction. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Remove thy foot from evil. What are we to do? Ponder the path of your feet. Where are you headed? What's the destination of your heart? The Bible has a wonderful principle. It's either wonderful or terrible. There's no middle ground. The Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, if you're sowing good seed in your garden, whatsoever a man sows, that shall also, that's good news because you reap what you sow and you reap more than you sow. But if you're sowing bad seed, the principle of sowing and reaping is terrible because you're reaping what you sow and you're reaping more than you sow. In the matter of sowing and reaping, there's an illustration I like to use I think will help you. You see, you sow a small seed and you reap a big product, right? And so the Bible teaches this, and there's something I want to share with you. If you sow a thought, you will reap a deed. We We're talking about our minds. What do? You sow a thought. You think about something. You think about something long enough. The next thing you know, if you've sowed a thought, you reap a deed. Your thought becomes a deed. Good thought, good deed. Bad thought, bad deed. Let's just walk down the bad seed trail. You sow a thought, you reap a deed. If you sow a deed, you do that thing that you thought about. You know you shouldn't have, but you do it. You sow a deed, guess what happens? When you sow a deed, you're going to reap something. You reap a habit. You sow a deed, one thing leads to another, to another, to another. How many of you ever started, you sowed a deed and reaped a habit? How many of you did something? I don't think I might try this. And the next thing you know, it was habitual. It became a habit. That happens, doesn't it? You sow a deed, you reap a habit. You never intended for that to take this much place in your life, but it did. I've never met a young person who took a drink of alcohol who said, you know what? When I grow up, I want to be a raging alcoholic. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But you know what happens? You sow a deed, you reap a habit. You sow a deed, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, what do you reap? If you sow a habit, you reap a character. What becomes your habit actually becomes who you are. The next thing you know, you've sowed a deed, you've reaped a habit, you've sowed a habit, and your habit has produced your reputation, your character. And that's what you become known as. What's funny to me, I know drug addicts who don't even know that they're drug addicts, but everybody around them knows they're drug addicts. They've been so deceived in their minds that they can't understand that their character and what they're known for. Is there a drug addict? They're a pervert. You fill in the blank. Because if you sow a habit, you reap a character. And I want you to know something. It doesn't stop there. If you sow a character, you reap a destiny. Your path leads to somewhere. Your path leads to somewhere. And I just wonder, according to the seeds that you're sowing today, where is your destiny going? And that's what the writer of this proverb wanted you to understand. He said, ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or the left. Remove thy foot from evil. He says, stop. Stop it. While you can, stop. Don't stop tomorrow, next week. Stop today. Because if you do not keep your heart, the issues of life produce a terrible outcome. You see, we have every reason to be optimistic. Why? Because God has given us the opportunity to keep our hearts. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Where are you? As you've thought about your own heart this morning, where are you? The things you're talking about, the things that consume your speech, is your heart in tune with God? Are you allowing the right things in your eyes? What path are you on? As we consider our hearts this morning, God commissions us to do one thing. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. One of my dear friends gave me this little note years ago. It's been in the front of my Bible for a long, long time. His name's Dan Martin. He's a precious guy. It says this, your heart is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. Your heart is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. And I don't know about you, but I want to just keep my heart with all diligence because I understand out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Let's pray.